From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. So it's hard to follow up from Mark Rusinovich. That
was
a big show last week. But
if you're watching this at the last second, get your comments in for last week's episode so you can get your Trojan horse freebie.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think if you have to follow it up with something, Proc Dump is the way to do it.
Yeah, the last of the Proc tools. So there's Process Explorer, Proc X, Process Monitor, Proc Mon, and Proc Process Dumper, Proc Dump. My favorite tool because I help write it.
Nice. So, all right. So tell us a little bit about Proc Dump. What are we looking at here? What is this tool for? Who uses it and when?
This is the advanced tool. This is like, if you're using this tool, you are elite. You're the bomb.
Nice. Right?
This is about capturing a process. So you have a process runs, and the only thing that makes a process is memory, right? And then what we can do is take a snapshot in time of that process, what every thread's doing, where the memory is, you know, all that type of junk. And then you can use the debugging tools for Windows, which we'll go into deep in later episodes, to work out what's wrong.
And let's get started then.
Yep. So SysIntel's tool. We're actually going to download the package again because this came out last week. ProcDump 5.0 came out last week.
Cool.
Sweet. Download it. Save as. I can save where I'm going to put it. We have our directory called my. It's only about, 12 meg? Yeah, 12 meg download still. Scanning. And open the folder. Remember to unblock it. Unblock. And then we are going to extract everything over the top of the folder we already have. Everything, replace. And we are going to end up with ProcDump. So ProcDump is a command line tool. I think I actually have a copy in here, which I shouldn't be there. So ProcDump version 5. Wait, this is finished.
What's new in 5?
A lot. So 4.0, which we're going to talk about briefly today, was released, I think it was December 2010. And since then, I've been developing three main things. Exception support, Windows support, and something I'll keep secret till we talk about it.
Okay.
That's something to do with logging, which is kind of cool. ProcDump is one of those tools which it's complex. It's a command line, and it has nearly every single letter of the alphabet as a switch.
Yeah.
I think 5.1 is in development at the moment. This is 5.0. After 5.1's out, there's only three letters in the alphabet left, A, Q, and Z from memory.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things where it takes a while to learn and to get your head around. This is going to get split over probably two or three episodes. First episode is going to be about what we're capturing,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe why you want to capture it. Second one is more about programs going awry and trying to pick up those key pieces of information at bad times. And then the third one, if it doesn't fit, we'll do Windows 8 support.
Great.
So lots of letters. The whole point is to capture a process, right? And there's a lot of ways in Windows to do that. There is, actually, I've got Task Manager replaced. You can right-click on a process and go create dump file.
Mm-hmm.
So there is four types of dump file in the world. Two of them are general knowledge, and two of them are special because ProcDump invented them. There is a thing called a mini dump and a full dump, right? Task Manager makes mini dumps, so it's a small dump. It's only a subset of the process. Process Explorer, so you just go create dump file, and it goes into some obscure directory in temp, and you have to remember to copy the path from the dialog, and it's hard to find. And
how do you determine whether you want a mini dump or a full dump?
And we'll get to that, but it's how much how deep you're going to go into the investigation.
Yeah.
And also how much outage you're willing to incur. If this is an Exchange server that's 96 gigabytes of RAM,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm not taking a full dump of that guy.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a 2-hour outage to write 96 gigs to the disk.
Yeah.
But I will take a mini dump, which is tiny. like in the couple of megs. So Process Explorer has the same thing. It's much nicer. You can say, do I want a mini or a full? And when you do it, I have access to. It says, where do you want to put it? So it's much easier, right? Process Explorer and Task Manager use the same API as ProcDump under the surface. ProcDump just uses that API much more complex. Mm-hmm. It really is, like basic versus advanced usage of the API. The dumps that are made are different in all three, and this is a really important tip. So if you run a 32-bit program, and we're going to use Windows, Sys, WoW 64, which is where the 32-bit versions of programs are on a 64-bit OS, and this is the 32-bit version of Notepad. So Notepad's running, and then what we'll do is we'll take a full dump with this guy, and I'm going to put it in dumps, and this is going to be the Notepad from Process Explorer dot dump. And if I did it with Task Manager, it would be exactly the same dump, but it'd be a mini. So for a comparison, we'll just use that. And then using procdump for the same thing, we're just going to say find Notepad and take a dump file. And this is going to take a mini. It's kind of irrelevant right now, whether mm-hmm. it's a mini or full, but the point is to show you the difference. So we're taking a dump of both. And this is where procdump shines, because when we open up the dump file in the debugger, I'm using shortcuts here. We'll go to that into that in our episode. I'm just going to rapidly get to the point. You'll see, if I can get it right, that every single stack has WoW on it. Mm-hmm. This is the Process Explorer dump file. Task Manager and Process Explorer are 64-bit applications, which means they invoke the 64-bit dumping APIs, which means they take a 64-bit dump of a 32-bit process. So all you get is the Windows on Windows 64 stacks. Absolutely, well, it's not useless. If you know what you're really doing, you can scavenge back the 32-bit.
Yeah.
But you're making your job 100% times harder getting that type of dump file. So procdump, it shines because it when it takes a dump file, which is the one I took, and we do the same thing, we get the native 32-bit one.
Nice.
You can see the function names, whether this is .NET, and then, particularly with .NET processors, you must be architecturally matched. If you take a 64-bit dump of a 32-bit .NET process, you just cannot debug it.
Yeah.
Right? And so procdump really is the only way of doing it correctly. So that's one of the big things. So let's talk about what procdump and all these guys are doing, what the difference is between mini and full, and then we'll go on to the two other concepts, which is mini plus and custom. Mm-hmm. So in a dump file, you are capturing memory. So we'll start Notepad again. And we're deciding what we're going to capture. And our favorite tool looking at memory in a process is VMAP. So we'll use VMAP. And here is the whole memory laid out. Now, the main things to look at is images and map files take up a lot of space and are deemed to be wasteful. And so a mini dump excludes those straight away. It just doesn't include those. It just holds enough information to know that this is the name of a DLL, this is the name of an XE in this process, but it doesn't have any of the assembler, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It also doesn't have any of the heaps, right? Or the shareable memory. All it has is the stacks, so it has enough information about this is the process, this is the threads in the process, this is the stacks of each thread, and that's about it. And so because of that, you end up with, and you don't get private data either, you end up with usually like a 5 or 10 megabyte file, and we'll look at this file we just made, and the one that procdump made, which is this one, is 251K. It only had one stack. The default for most programs is a 1 megabyte stack. Notepad and various other programs in Windows recognize that their stacks are never going to get that deep, and so they actually set a setting in the process that says don't make my stacks so big. They actually compile with special switches to make them smaller. So there was only one thread in this guy, and that thread is a 256K stack. because of the pages not used on the stack, so we don't record pages that haven't even been touched yet, with the module overhead, 200K. If you did a full dump, 44, right? And so the full dump is just every page of the process.
Yeah.
Every single page. Obviously, it doesn't include anything that's free or anything that's reserved. So this is all of the what's called the committed pages. And so it's 44 meg when we're running that instance, and okay, it's around 50 meg now. So you get a one-to-one. So you can use VMMap to guess how big the file is going to be. Now, the problem is with a mini dump, you cannot get to root cause with a mini dump. But then you go, well, the alternative is a full dump, and then you have things like, you know, SharePoint, Exchange, SQL, or, you know, big IIS process app pools and stuff. You can't afford to take these guys offline for that long, right?
Yeah.
And so what you can do, and it, as of version 3.1 or version 4 in ProcDump, I invented a new system called Mini Plus. And what Mini Plus is it starts with a mini dump, and then it adds pages that it deems are heuristically important. And so for Notepad, what you would get is it deems that private data and heaps and managed heaps are important, right? It's got the core information that you care about. And so everything that's from here to the bottom is in the dump file. So all these regions are in the dump file. The top two aren't. Where you go, well, if I don't have the executable, how do I know what assembler I'm on? And that's where some of the magic of the debugger kicks in. So a Mini Plus captures everything at the bottom and excludes mapped and image files. There is one small exception, and I'll see if I can find it. It might be hard to find one because they tend to be a little bit rare. We actually do have one right here. So when we talked about the VMMap episode a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how some pages in the image are tagged as copy on write, and that's the global variables. So this page was copy on write when the process booted, and now is actually read write. And what's happened is this process has written to that area, and the OS has gone, hang on, I don't want to change the disk. I'm going to make a brand new private page for you. And so you get these read writes. Well, they're important to us because if we don't have them in the dump file, we won't know what the global variables are, right? And so procdump will exclude all image and map pages because, you know, it knows what these types are. It's like VMMap. The engine in ProcDump is actually very close to the engine inside VMMap.
Yeah.
But it will include those pages. And so you will get your globals even though they're backed by an image. All right. So let's have a look at Mini Plus. So it's 200-odd-K for a mini and a 444-meg-ish in the middle. And then we look at this guy. We expect to lose about 22. So we're aiming for 22 megabytes here. Let's see how we go. So what we're going to do is add the MP switch. So by default, you get mini minus MA, which is the same two letters in the debugging tools for Windows. So
yeah.
Easy to remember. MA gives you a full, and MP gives you Notepad. Right, and then that's written. And looking at the one it made, oh, it's only about 2 megabytes. So. So it's a very good in the middle ground. So you go, that's kind of cool and all, but these exe pages still aren't in there. And this is where the magic of the debugger comes in. And this is really cool. There's actually three paths in the debugger. There is the symbol path, which we've talked about on the command line. There's the source path, how to find source code. And then there's actually another one called the exe path, exe path. The exe path defaults to the symbol path if it's not set. And so if I do all these commands I know are kind of complex, and but if we say list the module verbosely matching the mask of Notepad, okay, it's a different world, I know.
Yeah, I knew that one.
We'll get there.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah. You'll see this line here, mapped image file. And so what actually happened here is, for the pages that should have been in the process, right, for the Notepad, so the assembler and all that type of stuff,
yeah,
and the global variables that will still maybe copy on write, what it does is it actually pulls down from the symbol server, or actually it would also, if it wasn't in the symbol server, it would pull it from just the image on the hard drive. But it pulls those pages out of that process instead. So it merges the dump file with the executable. And so you end up with a complete picture still. All right? So it's as if you had a full dump. So a Mini Plus notionally is a full dump, and it relies on the debugger's ability to pull in the pages for the
rest.
Very
nice.
Yeah. So there's only one slight problem with this. If you don't have the executables on the image server and you're debugging on another machine, then you haven't got the files. So if you are debugging, I know, SharePoint over there and I'm on my desktop and I don't have the SharePoint binaries or a custom program you wrote, then it doesn't come in. But all it requires you to do is go to the foreign machine, pick up all the DLLs and exes, which doesn't cause an outage, right? Mm-hmm. And when you get the dump file, say collect 10 dump files and also collect the DLLs and exes, pull them locally, and then in the debugger you just say set exe path, you know, C dump, you know, exe, right? Mm-hmm. And then and then it will find the exes and then it will just merge the two together. So you've got a good way of getting a nice small dump file. Mm-hmm. But what happens if you can't even afford that, right? So it's roughly 30 megabytes per second that you can dump at. So if you have a one gig process, it's going to take 30 seconds or something like that. So even with, we use MiniPlus particularly for Exchange and SharePoint, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those 64 gig monoliths come down to about one gig, and so we still have a 30 second outage. So what I've got here is an example of what we're going to do is we're going to start Media Player. And let's say you're debugging a production studio system, right? And we'll just mine is muted. Good. Let's say that this video is playing. I think it's on repeat. Yep. We don't want this to stutter at all.
Yeah.
All right. And so what we can do is to this and say instead of we're going to do Mini Plus. Actually, the third one, which I missed, is actually, I should jump to that. Go to Defrag Tools, best site in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Click on me. There's the Mark video. Go watch Mark's video if you haven't watched it already. Right here, MSTM Magazine.
Yeah.
Product Dump version 4. You can actually write your own algorithm. Right? So there's a null switch minus D. So instead of doing minus M, A, minus MP and those, you do minus D for DLL.
Yeah.
And you can make your own DLL. And there's a whole MSDN magazine article on how you can go off and write your own. So if you know that this piece of memory over here is important and all this is not, then make your own custom dumper that says just capture that small little bit. And minus D is how you do that.
Nice
tip. That's the fourth one. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to get a full dump of this guy because we also want to make sure that we have the AVI pages. So the AVI that's running or the WMV that's running is a mapped file, so MiniPlus would throw those away. But we'll say we're debugging the codec of this thing, right? We want everything. So MA. So if I do MA on this, and we watch, let me just dock this to the. Whoops. Ah, Andrew's keyboard skills are terrible today. If I do a dump on Notepad, just try. Get the right program, Andrew. Whoops. Oh, the video stops.
Yeah.
That's just not good, right?
Yeah.
So what we can do, and actually I can press Control C, and in version 5, at any time, if the machine shuts down, you log off, you close the console window, you press Control C, you can press Control Break. Mm-hmm. We will stop the capture mid-flight, clean up everything, and get the program running again.
Nice.
So if you think that, you're in this situation, oh, that's stopping the whole production. Whoa. It doesn't matter how you...
I've just taken down the email server.
It doesn't matter how you back it at proc time. That's bad, and press X or whatever.
Yeah.
All of them will detach and leave it running. So a lot of dumping tools out there actually will crash the target. So it's a very important production critical feature. So what we can do is there's a thing called reflection. Reflection was invented in Windows 7. And what it does is it's the same as, I think it's fork command in Unix. Mm-hmm. And the process gets cloned. And there's actually two of them. So every single piece of memory is shared between the two processes. And we've talked about shared memory before. Mm-hmm. So both of them have the same memory. And then there's a delta subsystem. It actually uses the copy on write, rewrite system I've been talking about. And so it clones the whole thing. And this second program has all the memory as a state machine. And then the threads in the original are let to go and continue on. But the one over here is left as a paused thing to read. So
yeah.
And what we do is we record the threads out of the first one, and we record the modules and the thread stacks and everything else, not thread stacks, the heaps and stuff out of the second one. And then debugger will actually let you merge both dump files together, and it will read the threads from the first one, and it'll read everything else from the second as a merge module. And so if we do that, you watch on the screen, we'll have two dump files. We'll have a dump of the original, which will be tiny, so small that we probably won't even see the video stop playing.
Nice.
And then the second one will be this massive, 100 megabyte one.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm gonna wait for this video to get to the end of the loop so we can definitely see it. So this guy's playing the new one, and we're gonna press enter. Done. In the background, without any pause at all.
Very nice.
It's kind of amazing that you can do that in the background.
You've circumvented Heisenberg's uncertainty principle.
A little
Congratulations.
Bit. Yeah. So it is dependent on delta, right? So if the delta, because this one, one copy has the original, one copy has the delta, and if you have a huge amount of delta switch, both processes are going to build up memory. And so a lot of programs, like these big ones, deliberately use all of RAM and nothing more.
Yeah.
And so if there's a large amount of delta, you'll start needing more memory, causing memory pressure, and then you'll start causing paging. And so you have to be careful that you're not right at the limit.
Mm-hmm.
But it all comes down to, because if you're doing like a big one, like a 96 giga,
yeah,
that's a good hour to write to disk.
Yeah.
So that's an hour of delta. So think of an hour of delta on an exchange server, for example. That's a huge amount of delta. So you've got to be aware of how much delta thrash you've got.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about dump files, minis, fulls. With .NET processes, you always have to get a full. None of the debugging subsystems in Windows support anything but a full dump.
Yeah.
If you actually choose mini plus in procdump on a .NET process, it'll go, yeah, you're an idiot. I'll give you a full anyway. Because it asks the target, are you a CLR process? And it goes, yeah. And it goes, yeah, okay, you're getting a full.
Yeah.
The other thing that, and then you can also do your own customized D1s. There's also a lot of code in version 5 that's about recovery. So you actually can get a situation where, through race conditions, threads are actually exiting while you're trying to pause the process,
mm-hmm.
and those pages will be missing when you try to read the data, because
yeah.
what you thought, the snapshot doesn't match the actuality. So there's a whole lot of recovery code in that, and what happens is, procdump goes, whatever, I just won't record it.
Yeah.
It's better off getting a dump than nothing. So,
what kind of permissions do you need?
All right, you have to be able to match the target. So if it's an elevated process, then you need to be an elevated thing. I tend just to run my command prompt as administrator, USC elevated. Just don't get yourself into trouble.
Yeah.
If you have to have the right to debug the process, which is quite a high right as well. So, all right, so you've got a dump file on disk. We've only taken it at an arbitrary time. So we're going to end the episode now. Next week, we're going to talk about triggering and when we want a dump file, right? And get it at that key moment, which is CPU, memory spikes, performance counter spikes, and exceptions, and hung windows, and all these other features, and every other letter in the alphabet.
Yeah.
And so we'll get that dump file at the right time, capturing the right issue. So we have the tools to get a dump file that's small or big or whatever size you want, with or without impact on the process, and then we can delve in further.
Awesome. That's the show for this week. So leave us comments if you have questions, and we'll get back to them two shows from now, because we won't see them. We're going to shoot the next show right now.
Yeah.
So watch for the show after this if you have any questions, or we'll just comment in the comments.
Just email us anytime, of course.
Defragtools@microsoft.com. Yeah. See you next week.
See you next week.